Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. Give us a call. Give us a text. We'd love to hear from you. This should be a pretty good show. Dean Richards will talk about some holiday films that's coming up later on. And also, we have a pair of tickets to give away to see the great Carol Burnett. She's coming to the Chicago Theater. And we've come up with a game, the Christmas Carol game, where you can win some tickets.
I love your games, Bill.
It's going to be fun. All right. Yesterday, we received the news about Matt Lauer's dismissal from the Today Show for sexual improprieties. So after the show, I see a friend of mine, and he goes, "Hey, the whole thing about Matt Lauer is weird, but how about the thing with the button?" And I didn't know what he was talking about. I go, "Yeah, the thing with the button. What is the thing with the button?" And then he explained to me, because I didn't want to seem like I was out of the loop, if there's a story about a celebrity
no pun
with
intended.
A button. Right. So it turns out that Matt Lauer, now this, I guess we still have to say alleged. We don't know for sure. But the story has come out that Matt Lauer had a button connected to his desk by which, when he would press the button, the office door would lock, right? So Steve and I are talking about this morning, and I was trying to figure out what the practical purpose of that could be. Like, when you're having that button installed, how do you convince your bosses that that's a good idea?
Yeah, I don't think it's alleged at all. I think it's
is it a fact?
It's established, but
yeah.
It wasn't just him. The way I read it, I think it was in a New York Times article that a number of the high-profile people at NBC have them for security reasons.
And if I can just say, I think I was listening to, I don't know who Steve Cochran was talking to during this, but it was like, if people are aware of that button, then whoever installed that button knew something. Just because you have a button doesn't mean you're harassing or assaulting women. I'm sorry.
No, of course it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. But I'm just trying to convince, like, if I said to our bosses, you know what I could use in our office is I could use a button so that when I pressed it, it would lock the door and no one could get in and no one could get out. I need that. I must have a button like that. They would go, "What? We're not giving you that button. Why would you have a button like that?"
I bet you could get a button because I know somebody who had a button who could get you a button.
Is that true?
Larry Wirtz had a button when we worked at the Loop.
All right, so his...
He was just in here and I brought up his button and I said, "Do you know anyone who had one of those buttons who shut the door?" And Larry goes, "Yeah, that could have been me." I go, "It was you."
He had the door closing button. But did it lock the door?
I don't know. I never got up to check.
I don't think it locked it. I think it just closed the door.
And he didn't hide it.
I hope it locked it. I hope he didn't have a button just to close his door.
But his reasoning was, he said that, so let's say somebody comes in to have a meeting with him, and they're sitting there, and he said the mere act of him having to get up and walk over to the door and close it would make the person nervous because they'd be like, "Uh-oh, something must be up. They're closing the door. I don't know. Am I going to get fired? What's going to happen?"
So you go in, he's like, "Sit down." And then you see the door closing.
No, but here's the thing with Larry Wirtz. He thought it was so cool that he would tell everybody.
Yeah.
Like when you'd go into his office, he'd be like, "Okay, well, we need to discuss this. This is kind of a serious situation." And then he'd get funny for a minute and go, "Check this out. Look when I hit this button. Look what happens." And the door closes.
Right.
So it kind of defeats the whole purpose of nonchalantly closing the door.
Right.
Because he would make a big... And then he'd call people in, "Hey, check out my
button.
Watch this.
Right.
Check out my button."
See, now that's a phrase you can't say anymore.
You're right.
In today's climate, that phrase is no longer useful.
But he's the first person I thought of when I heard about the Matt Lauer button this morning. Was Larry Wirtz had the same button. Not sure if it locked, because quite honestly, it's not like I was trying to get out of it. Although it may have locked, because when Stephen Geary broke up, he had to shut the door that way.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And maybe he wanted to lock them in so they could talk it out.
Oh, okay.
So maybe it did lock.
Maybe. Steve, when you say it's for security reasons, a button like this, a door-locking button, is it to keep people from leaving the office, or is it to keep people from coming into the office,
or both?
I think
generally a door lock is to keep someone out, not in.
All right. So it's a polite way of saying, "I'm in something that cannot be disturbed."
Right.
So if Matt Lauer says to the bosses at NBC, I want and I need this button... Probably no other questions are asked. They go, you're important. You need a button like that.
I think you're reading it differently than the way I'm reading it, Bill. It wasn't a Matt Lauer specific thing.
A lot of
NBC higher ups have.
In fact, it's why now there's a real fight to succeed Matt Lauer, because they want an office with a button.
Yeah,
I'll bet there are a lot of offices equipped with buttons, and perhaps the new people who come in there don't even know what the button does. I'm sure this.
Possible.
I'm not kidding.
No, that's very possible.
If Larry had it at the Loop, this has been. Listen, this has been done before. I don't think it's that weird that you have a button that's rigged up to shut the door.
I guess it makes
perfect sense. I don't know if you saw the latest Curb Your Enthusiasm, but when you sit behind a desk, you get all the power.
Yeah, that's true.
So
there is something to that.
You want
to
sit behind the desk, and if you can remotely close the door and you don't have to get from behind the desk, you got it all going on.
So there's nothing weird about this at all.
I don't think so.
All right.
It was reported, and everybody was kind of jumping on that. I mean, the thing that's weird is he assaulted people.
Yeah. First and foremost, that is...
It's not the button.
Right, right. I'm going to ask for one then. It took them a long time to show me where the light switch was, so I wonder how long this will take.
I mean, we're moving, right? This is the time to do it.
Right.
Yeah, but you didn't. Right. You don't need a button to close the door. You need like a button to have like, you know, streamers come down or something.
Right.
That would be more fun for
you. I would love to have that. Something that had streamers. And then the other things I've asked for, they keep telling me are ridiculous. Like I said, we have to have a pinball machine. And they're like, you don't have to have a pinball machine.
I'd be really okay with
that. I would like to have that. A Slurpee machine would be nice. Giant light bright. All the things I've asked for, they're like, you don't need those things.
You know what? I would not complain about one of those things.
Those are all good. Those are all very good. All right, so
I got a button. I should hit it.
Hit the button. We'll play some commercials for everybody. You'll enjoy these commercials, and then we'll come back and discuss further. If you want to jump in, do you have a button? That's today's topic.
Button. Who's got the button?
312-981-7200, Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, we're talking about Matt Lauer. As you know, yesterday he was relieved of his services over at the Today Show for sexual improprieties. He has kind of apologized. You know, he said there's a lot of stories out there about him, obviously.
And what did he say? Like, some of them may not be 100% accurate, but they're enough to cause me embarrassment and shame.
Said. Yep. And then who else got in trouble yesterday?
Garrison Keillor.
Now, his story is that he touched a woman on the back, and then that touch may have gone a little bit lower than he had intended.
But did he lose control of his hand?
Yes.
Could he not stop at the curvature of her lower back?
You're reading like a dime store novel now.
Say
tell
curvature
me more,
again,
please. Just a little bit more.
I don't understand these excuses. You know what? Listen, if you take a picture, we take pictures with people that we have in the studio very frequently.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I like to sneak my arm underneath
them. Careful.
No, I sneak my, they're usually taller than me.
Yeah.
I sneak my arm underneath their arm and around their back just cause, so it looks like we like each other.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, there may have been some times that perhaps I bumped into their butt.
What?
Yep.
But
I
would say something like, oh, sorry. Oh, my God. Just trying to get in here for a picture. You know,
yeah.
It was like I was more embarrassed than they were. It happens.
Right.
But these stupid excuses.
Yep.
I perhaps did. I know that I did a couple times, and I've apologized for it.
He also said he maintained a friendship with the woman for years after that. And
until her lawyer
And
superseded.
Heard nothing about it until her lawyer contacted him recently.
Yeah.
Well, that seems odd to me then, too.
Okay, that's the point.
All right, it does. But now's a time where women can speak up.
Yes. Yes.
I got a lot of things to say.
I guess.
Just wondering if I will ever speak up.
All right. So now today we are talking about the legitimacy or illegitimacy of Matt Lauer's button. What does that mean? Apparently. Oh, wait.
That was easy.
What was that?
Do you remember the Office Max button? That was easy.
Oh, I do. Yeah, now I do.
That's what it was.
All right. So the story goes that Matt Lauer had a button in his office by which when he hit the button, the door would lock. So I was trying to figure out how you convince your bosses that that's something that you need. But you guys have said it's a lot more standard than I was aware of. I didn't know such a thing was commonplace.
I got to be honest with you. If it did lock, it's not like you would have to hit the button again to disengage the lock.
Yeah.
It would close it and lock it, and then you could... Obviously, leave.
Conduct your business.
Listen, you'd have to be able to leave.
Right. Right.
Without hitting the button again. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, yeah, it closed the door. It was rigged up to do that. And somebody thinks your button should be hooked up to play Calliope music.
I'd be fine with that. Let that happen. I'm ready for that.
I have a button that opens up a trapdoor in the floor, says 920.
No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't have that,
what,
do they?
A dungeon?
That's impossible.
I got me a belly button. I got all kinds of buttons. I guess the button is not really a big issue.
It's not that big of a deal? All right. I'm trying to think of how long our bosses would just stare at me if I told them I needed, or if I wanted that or needed that. They would just stare at me.
I'm telling you, Larry Wirt would arrange it so you could have a button.
Right.
He had a button.
And but he deserved one. I don't deserve one.
Well, he deserved one, yes, but he used it for fun, really.
Right. Yeah.
And showed it off to everyone.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
Real good. You guys got a great show. Real fast story. I worked for a catering division. The executive chef and one of the cooks got into an argument. He had an all-enclosed glass office right in the middle of the floor where he could see everything that was going on. They got into a confrontation. He says, step into his office. And once you were in there, when the door was closed, he had to push a button for you to be able to enter. I don't know about leaving, but to be able to get in there. And he proceeded to beat the snot out of the executive chef over whatever it was that they were arguing about. And nobody could get into that locked door to help, you know.
Oh, no.
He had the chef down on the floor. He ended up getting arrested for it. He broke the chef's nose.
Oh, my God.
Knocked a few teeth loose, but he had one of those offices where when the door was closed, the only way you could in, you could knock on it, he had to press a button for you to be able to enter.
What would you call him?
Entering, no good.
Was he a control? He must have been a control freak, obviously.
I love that question. That's a great question.
You wouldn't do something like that if you weren't 100% control freak, would you?
Most of your executive and sous chefs are control freaks.
I guess. Wow.
Well, they need to be, or else they'll put out an inferior product.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, get you one of those buttons.
All right. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks,
have
Jim.
Have a good week.
219 says, I had a button like that. They are nothing more than a magnet that releases the door to close. If you want your potential information not to be heard by others outside. Oh, confidential information not to be heard by others outside. It does not lock the door. It only releases the door and keeps the big shot from having to get up and walk over to do it.
That's why I want that cone of silence from Get Smart. Remember that? That the chief would have in his office and they'd both put it on their heads. I want the cone of silence.
We could arrange that for you at the new place, I think. The button is for security reasons. If there's an active shooter and you hear it, you can lock the door and hide without getting up. That's it nowadays. Back in, you know, in 89 when we were at the Louvre,
right.
No, it was not for that.
But then, like, wouldn't his coworkers want to get into a safe office like his and he would have the ability to lock them out? Like, if there was some stir going on there in the hallways, and they're like, Lauer's office is safe. He's got that lock, and then he gets to the door, and I bet they all had it.
Well, I would do that in an instant. And, in fact, I'd insist on frosted glass so I could see you guys.
I bet they all had. If it was for that kind of reason, anyone with an office had it.
Mom, I was just kidding. It was a joke.
I don't know that you were, Steve. I'm okay either way, but I don't think, for the record, I don't think you were kidding. Wow.
I just don't think the button's a big deal.
I guess not, but it just sounded, I mean, the way it was worded when the story first came out, it's like, wow, something must have been up if he had that ability.
But that's what happens. Everybody kind of piles on because we know what he is allegedly guilty of at this point.
Have you seen all the clips? Like, people have found a dozen clips of interviews he's done. The Anne Hathaway one is the one that is getting the most attention. So he's asking questions that now seem extremely creepy, but at the time you just go, oh, it's just Matt Lauer asking a question. What's the difference?
Who's the one who says he touches my butt too much?
Oh, that was Katie Couric. She said that about Matt Lauer.
All right, because I heard that audio this morning, and I have to tell you, as a woman, I didn't really think that was funny. And I really don't, I know where they were going with it, and it still really wasn't funny.
So, all right, I've only read her comments where she said that. I haven't heard her physically say it. When she says it, what is her tone as she's relaying the story? Is she saying it like this isn't in retrospect? This is a clip from her from years ago when they worked together, right?
And it was like a goofy thing, right?
I think. I mean, I can't tell.
You co-hosted the Today Show with Matt Lauer for 15 years. What is Matt's most annoying habit?
He pinches me on the ass a lot.
Wow! I wouldn't have a problem with that.
See, right, that's, so that's, a,
Andy,
that's a joke.
That's on Andy Cohen's show, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Is that the fifth hour or whatever?
Andy Cohen has this show where he has celebrities on, and it's the storytelling is exactly that. He's trying to find dirt on other celebrities.
Okay. So I have more Katie Couric here. Right. I don't know what this is from. 2012 clip of TV anchor Katie Couric.
Is it Watch What Happens Live? Is that the show?
This is just as backstage somewhere. It says Time Magazine on the little thing that people take pictures against, the backdrop.
Yeah. A 2012 clip of TV anchor Katie Couric resurfaced online just hours after journalist Matt Lauer was fired from NBC amid sexual misconduct allegations. In the video pulled from Bravo's Watch What Happens Live, host Andy Cohen asked Couric her former co-host, Matt Lauer's most annoying habit. Couric said, "He pinches me on the ass a lot."
That was meant to be funny. And
so she was kidding, you think?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it was the look on her face. It was kind of like, "Oh, he pinches me on the ass a lot," which might be funny because I think it's absurd. I don't think that he's ever done that.
Wait a minute. You think she's making that up?
I can't tell.
I think it's a joke.
I think it's a joke, but I'm sure he probably did too. I mean, I'm just wondering about.
I don't know that Katie Couric would put up with that. That's like me saying, what's the worst part of Bill Luff? Oh, yeah, he pinches me on the ass. No one would believe that. So it's kind of funny that way. That's what I get out of this.
I can't tell. I can't tell if she's kidding or not.
I think she's totally kidding, but
I don't think he pinched Katie Couric on the ass because I think she would haul off and punch him.
Yeah. Unless they had a relationship where they, were joking around all the time.
Bill and I joke around every single day, and not one of us has grabbed each other.
Mm-mm.
See, and that's where Bill and I differ.
All right, let's take a break, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Real quickly, before news, I'd like you to listen to Katie Couric again talking about Matt Lauer.
You co-hosted the Today Show with Matt Lauer for 15 years. What is Matt's most annoying habit?
He pinches me on the ass a lot.
Wow! I wouldn't have a problem with that.
I think it's a joke.
You say kidding. I honestly can't tell. I've watched the clip with you a couple times. It's very hard to decipher if she's kidding or not.
Well,
I hope
why would
she
be serious? There was a joking interview. Why would she?
That's what I mean. So I think she's saying that particular thing because it's so absurd. She would never let Matt Lauer pinch her on the butt. And she should have said butt, not ass. That's very crass of her. That's a Wendy move.
I thought you scripted that segment. I had to look at the writer's credits to see if you were behind that or not.
Jingle bell,
jingle
bell, rock.
Thanks,
jingle
Steve.
Bells ring,
it's Bill and it's Wendy.
Don't know the rest of the words.
You don't need to know the words to sing a song, Wendy. That's the old way of doing things. Sometime between now and noon, Wendy and I will be giving away tickets to see the great Carol Burnett. She's performing at the Chicago Theater, not until the summer, but
you gotta leave early.
She wants everybody there 6 months early.
My God, Steve Bertrand and I have a little, me mostly. I shouldn't even bring him into this, but I have a little anticipatory anxiety where I don't like things hanging over my head.
Sure.
Imagine having an event in June.
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh, I wonder how Carol Burnett feels about
that. She'll be fine with it. She's a professional, but we have a pair of tickets to give away to see the great Carol Burnett, and that's coming up sometime between now and noon. Listen to your radio. The best way.
On this station.
Yeah, listen to this station. Other stations refuse to promote this. We've tried to get other stations to promote this, and they said, no, this is your property. So, all right.
All right, guys. I have a lot of gentlemen to buy for this year for Christmas.
Yeah.
Mainly Jimmy Mac, my husband. Yeah. And I do not want to get him any Star Wars stuff. I probably should get Bertrand something. I owe you a Christmas and birthday gift.
Do you know anytime I see anything Star Wars related now?
You show me and say, does Jim have this?
Yeah, you should get this for Jimmy. I say that all the time.
And what do I say to you?
He's got enough of this crap,
yes,
you say.
I do.
Yeah.
But you do offer ideas
frequently.
Yeah,
I keep
looking.
I see stuff all the time.
They're always expensive. Do you know that?
Yesterday, I saw, I probably shouldn't say this on the air in case he's listening, but I saw wine bottles that had various Star Wars characters on them. Chewbacca obviously has a vineyard somewhere in California that I was not aware of.
Well, George Lucas at Skywalker Ranch.
Oh, I bet that's, I didn't put it together,
yeah,
but I bet that's
we've been
exactly
there.
It.
And they have the vineyards and they have their own steak,
yeah.
Skywalker steak.
Oh, delicious.
They do. They have cows out there. It's pretty wild.
So for your discerning wine drinkers out there, a nice bottle of Chewbacca Merlot couldn't go wrong, right? That's a good gift.
He doesn't need it. Which is what I say to everything that
right.
you bring up.
I know.
What else did I see that was wine related? Was it Walking Dead wine?
Is there Walking Dead wine also? Blood Red? That would make sense.
You're a marketing whiz.
Yes, I am.
All right, Bertrand, if you're still up there, BuzzFeed has put things together, and I know people laugh at BuzzFeed. My teenage boys say, what a stupid site.
You can see me, right?
Yeah. There's Steve right up there.
Did you forget that?
No, but it looked like you were working at something, and I didn't want to, waste time on the air, so I just did.
I'm sorry.
So these are potential gifts for guys, but you want to run them past Steve and myself to see if
you'd really want.
Oh, all right.
All right?
Yeah.
And BuzzFeed, people make fun of it, but they're the ones that broke the whole massage envy thing. So you know what?
They're
sometimes,
legit.
Yeah, too legit
right.
to quit.
All right,
a nice pillow.
Well, there's no finer pillow than the MyPillow.
I love MyPillow.
Sold millions of MyPillows.
But we all have a MyPillow.
Oh. So this is, how is this pillow better or different?
No, just a good pillow. So idea for somebody.
We don't all have a MyPillow.
Oh, so see.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Now I know what to get Bertrand.
Everyone seems to have one, but.
Oh, they're honestly the best.
Do they still make those pillows that they're like twice the size of a regular pillow, and then they also have things that come out on the sides so you can kind of just rest back on it. It's like more than a pillow.
Oh, like you had in your dorm room in college?
Wait, was that in the back of a magazine, Bill?
Yeah, I saw
that
in the back of a magazine.
It's just so you can sit up in bed. It had arms on it. It was like the back of a chair, but it was just a pillow.
Would hold you, kind of?
Well, his sounds a little more perverted.
Somebody I used to go out with years and years ago said that those were called husbands, but I don't know that that was... I think she just called them
that. She's going to be disappointed someday.
Or not. I don't know. So you know what I mean, right?
A back pillow.
Yeah,
it
but
wasn't
it
that
also,
big.
It's shaped, like if you looked at it straight on, it'd be shaped like a fat letter U. Yeah.
Right. But it's not that big. You'd just put it on the back of your bed.
They still make those?
I'm sure they do.
Right.
Little armrests on
Yeah.
It's like a college student thing where
right.
you can study in bed.
Oh.
That's what I said 10 minutes ago, and neither of you responded to that.
I'm always in the market for a nice throw pillow,
oh.
Wendy.
Oh.
Really? Why?
With the little tassels on the corners. I think that's just a great gift.
Yeah.
You're saying that jokingly.
Yes, I am.
Okay. What about a commuter mug or desk mug? Would that see? Now you don't drink coffee, so
no,
you wouldn't like
that.
I would see Bertrand liking that.
Yep, but every man has about six of them.
Yeah, I guess.
Does it have a pithy phrase on it, Wendy? I would only want it if it had a pithy phrase on it.
I wish I could get one that just said pithy phrase.
I would enjoy
I'd give it to you.
Right, I would like that a lot.
All right, another thing, BuzzFeed says these are great guy gifts, and since I work with guys, Jasmine, you can't help me on this, although I'm sure you have questions.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of great puzzles and a puzzle mat, other than my brother-in-law.
Now,
you would
are we talking about crossword puzzles or jigsaw puzzles?
Jigsaw puzzles.
I'd be fine with that. I would love that gift.
What's a pizzle?
A pithy pizzle?
What's a pizzle mat? A puzzle mat that just holds the pieces?
Well, Snoop Dogg, what it is...
It was like one of the top sellers in Illinois at the Walmart. Remember we did this and it was a puzzle
yes.
mat? And
yes.
all it is kind of like a yoga mat for your puzzle.
It keeps them from sliding around.
Right.
No, you put it down on your table and then say you're not finished with the puzzle. You can
pick it up
or roll it up. And then when you get to your friend's house, you can bring it with and unroll it.
I wouldn't need one of these, but if I got one of these, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
When's the last time you did a jigsaw puzzle?
Less than a year ago.
Mm.
Seriously?
Yeah,
I did one maybe 18 months ago.
Be honest.
It's about 20 years for me.
When you were both doing it, didn't you find it to be extremely pleasurable?
Yes.
It's really, I don't know what it is about it.
It's like coloring. It brings us back to being a kid.
Yeah, to a point, and then I get frustrated with it.
But
so.
No, did you, when, Steve, when
well,
you
yours
did.
Yours was all white. What did you expect?
Too much water. I need a puzzle of the alphabet.
When you did it, did you do it by yourself, or was there somebody there for you? Because, like, most of the time I did it, Kylie was doing it with me, and we were, you know, just having conversations about various things while we were completing the puzzle. It was fantastic.
See, I think it's great to do by yourself, too. It decompresses you until it compresses you. And then I think family members started to help just to get it over with.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
I think I am getting, God, I hope, well, they're in school. I think I'm getting this for the boys.
What?
It is on Amazon, and it's a video games collection. It's a puzzle with all the video games from all the eras.
So it's a jigsaw puzzle,
yes.
And the picture in the jigsaw puzzle is all your classic video games.
And they would love that, and then maybe they could do it together without fighting.
Who makes that? Is that Springbok? That's my.
This is when you show off.
That's my go-to puzzle company.
Amazing information
Springbok.
That you know.
It looks like their work, but I could be wrong. You know, the other thing about jigsaw puzzles is you can get them incredibly inexpensively.
New York Puzzle Company,
no.
Smart.
Those
it's currently unavailable. Well, why'd they put it up here?
To mess with your head.
New York Puzzle Company, 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Video games.
That's a pretty good looking. I think they'd enjoy that.
Age 13 and up.
Yeah.
So they fit in that category. So do you, in fact.
Yep.
All right. Something to keep in mind. Puzzles.
You never would have even considered that as a gift? You've never given these as a gift ever?
No.
No?
I would think people would look at it and go, oh, how old am I? Thanks.
If you go to Barnes & Noble, you wouldn't think they would have this many, but they've got a whole aisle. They probably have 200 different kinds of jigsaw puzzles at any Barnes & Noble. And Hallmark still has a pretty good assortment of them, too.
Would Jim like a Star Wars puzzle, maybe?
Yeah, I wouldn't count that out. I think
really?
He would. Yeah, I think that's a good gift.
What would I get Bertrand?
Who?
All of his favorite newsmen.
The ones who aren't in trouble?
Right.
Wouldn't Steve, honestly, if Wendy were to give you an Eric Severide jigsaw puzzle, wouldn't that make your year?
I had a lot of white on the hair.
There would be. There would be. All right, let's take a quick break and then more gift ideas for men. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here
how would you spell
Santa
that?
Claus,
it's W-W-W-E-N-D-Y.
Yep.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200.
Is this Bobby Vinton?
I think this is Bobby Vinton.
What version is this?
I think it is.
This is the Disney version.
Boy, this does sound like Bobby Vinton.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. All right, so Wendy is on her Christmas list. She has all kinds of guys to buy for, and she's running potential gift ideas.
I do have some cousin guys, too.
Yeah?
Like just a little something-something that you want to give them.
Your father-in-law, you got to get him something.
Yes.
Yeah? Ryan Burrow, you got to get a gift for Ryan Burrow.
I do?
Yeah.
Did I get his name in the Secret
Yeah.
Santa?
Yeah.
How about socks?
Nope.
Bertrand? Because I know, like, my family teases my boys and says, if you don't have a list, we're getting you socks and underwear. But quite honestly, they could use some socks and underwear.
Yeah, everyone, I think that's a great parent gift to kids. I always threaten my kids.
Yeah.
But they need them.
Right,
everyone
exactly.
Everyone needs them, but no, you can't get excited about socks. It's impossible, even if...
I love nothing like a brand new pair of socks on your feet.
You're excited? Like if somebody gave that to you, you open it up and it's socks, you would get excited?
I'd put them right on.
You would? It would not faze me. I would say, what else did you get me? This is a nice sample gift, but now I want my real gift, I would say.
Here's an idea for a guy on your list, which I have a feeling... I got to be honest with you. I think you and Bertrand would both give a thumbs up to this.
Yeah.
This book is a $50 book. And
I want it. I don't care what it is. I like expensive books.
It features literally every Playboy centerfold from 1953 to 2016.
I don't think so.
No? Every centerfold, Steve.
Every single centerfold.
You could use it for reference.
Could leave it at work.
I'd like to see how they've changed.
Yeah, that'd be the reason
to
get it.
Well, I would, too, because they have changed a lot. It's laid out beautifully, isn't it?
Yeah, it's stunning. All right. I will take that. Now, when you say Steve and I, you don't mean we'd have to share it, like take turns owning it, do you?
You'd have to look at it together.
Okay, I get the 70s. No, I've seen the 70s. I want the 90s. I lived off the 70s.
All right. This BuzzFeed author, whose name is Rachel Wilkerson Miller, says that this book idea coming up is going to be on every gift list this whole year. It is a $17.83 book called Home Comforts, The Art and Science of Keeping House.
So with this Playboy book, it's every centerfold.
Okay, yeah, that's the centerfold
book. Oh, that's a different one.
Right. She's moved on.
This book will teach a guy literally everything they need to know about keeping a home in running order.
Mm. You mean a home as in, because there used to be a Reader's Digest guide to home repair and all that.
Yeah, this isn't home repair. This is about throw pillows and stuff, Steve, and making coffee and cleaning things up. Home Comforts. To the house is to the house what joy of cooking is to food.
I don't want this.
No.
You want this?
This is another example of the women in our lives trying to control us.
Yeah, right. I don't want this. This horse sucks.
What about a sunrise alarm clock?
What would that do?
That's a great gift or a great passive aggressive way to say, oh my FG, stop hitting your snooze button 6 times every morning, you fool. It is an alarm clock that lights up gradually as your alarm is going off. It's the Philips wake-up light with sunrise simulation.
But if your eyes are closed, you wouldn't notice that.
Well, it would have...
It's so bright that it like goes through your retinas?
Yeah, it's light therapy lamp for improving your sleep, energy, and well-being. They are wake-up lights. They're clinically proven to help you wake up feeling more refreshed. Light alarm clock for a more natural wake-up. Sunrise alarm improves your ability to function in the morning. I'm getting this for the boys.
Did you ever go to Brookstone and you just look around and you go, nobody would ever buy this?
I used to buy that stuff.
You did? Really?
I thought, you know, back when I'm like younger, this would be a great gift. Yeah.
I think this is a great idea.
So it's just as, all right, so normally with an alarm, the sound gets louder. Sometimes you can make it so the sound, but with this, it's a light that just gets brighter. The longer it goes off, the brighter the light goes.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. You would have to be in your own room.
Yeah, right.
Like, I wouldn't want to wake Jim up.
No.
He should get up when I get up anyway.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
He's got to start his day, too. We got to get the kids to school.
But you only get the benefits of this bright light for 3 seconds or 4 seconds. Because as soon as it goes off, you go, now I'm up. And then you hit a button and it goes off.
Yeah, but it's that light therapy, especially now in the winter. This would be perfect for that seasonal affective disorder. It would kind of get you going and get you in a great mood. Or you'd take your hand and smash it.
Yeah, what's to wake up to a bright light?
I don't think anyone does.
But it gradually gets, I mean.
I know, but it gets bright. If you're not awake when it's gradualizing.
Right.
You're awake when it wakes you up because of the brightness.
One of the best feelings in the world is to fall asleep on the beach and then the cloud moves away or the sun moves and all of a sudden this sun gets in your eye and you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I'm on the beach. I don't care that I'm awake.
Right.
Never in my life have I heard anyone say that.
Really? I love it.
I can see where that would be pleasant, but this will not duplicate this.
I could
pretend.
Because
you'll wake up and you'll go, I'm not in a beach.
So you fall asleep on the beach, sunscreen, right? So you're okay there.
Yeah, sunscreen.
And then you wake up with the sun in your eyes.
Yeah, it's like all of a sudden, like the sun shifts or the cloud goes away, and it's like this bright warmth, and you're kind of like, wow, it's kind of, wow, this is a lovely day.
Yeah.
And then
do you think this is close to that, though? Because I don't think this will duplicate that at all.
If you touch it.
Yeah, maybe you'd have to touch it. Directly.
What about an electric toothbrush?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's much better.
You'd like that as a gift?
Mm-mm. Nope.
I mean, wouldn't you want to buy your own? BuzzFeed. What about a nice notebook?
Nice how nice.
You know, this is such... every time you do one of these, it's a list that men want, and it's written by a woman.
Well, then put a list together for me to go over with the listeners.
I got one.
All right, Jasmine.
A Yeti cooler.
Mm-hmm. Those are really expensive.
I know, but it'd be nice.
Thank you, Jasmine. I appreciate it.
Yeti's the brand name?
Yeah. No, it's really furry.
It's a very nice cooler. Top of the line.
It is.
That's
like,
better.
That's like $300.
All right, I'll take one of those.
Amazon, Jasmine. Best friend.
Yeah.
Still around $300.
I can get one for $130.
You want my home address, Jasmine, or you want to deliver it here? I'll take it.
Just drop it off at the station, Jazz. That's great.
All right, but given a cooler for in the winter, I guess you can never have enough coolers.
Right, you could find a way to make that work.
Well, you know, a good notebook for the man who has a lot of thoughts.
So it's just a note. That's all it is a notebook?
Notebook.
It's like a leatherized notebook, right. And it's got a German name that I can't pronounce.
For the man who has a lot of thoughts.
No. That seems...
I will say this. One of the things I admire about Eric Zorn when he comes in, if you notice, he always has a notebook.
Yeah, he does, for story ideas.
just idea. Just he's got a lot of thoughts. He's a guy with a lot of thoughts.
When I did stand up, half the guys I worked with always had not a full on notebook size notebook, but like one of those little ones, like a waitress or a waiter would have.
Yeah,
and they would always like write down ideas and everything like that.
I remember my friend Carla Felicia
she used
had
to do that.
Yeah, a lot of people did that. You do that with you have a date book like that, don't you?
Yeah, but it doesn't have ideas. It just says
you don't have any.
I don't have any ideas. If I had ideas, then I'd use them. All right, let's do this.
A Yeti cooler. I could have just gone to Jasmine.
Yeah, Jazz would have solved your problems
Thanks,
quickly.
Thanks, Jazzy. Or Carol Burnett tickets.
Oh, those are coming up, Wendy. Sometime between now and noon, a pair of tickets to see Carol Burnett at the Chicago Theater can be yours. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Remember when Carol used to have that laser gun and she'd shoot at Vicki Lawrence with it?
Pew! Pew! Pew!
That's why Harvey Korman quit. Couldn't take it anymore. How would you like to see the great Carol Burnett?
She's performing.
Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? She's performing at the Chicago Theater in June, Wendy. Is that right?
On June 12th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, this Friday, December 1st already.
I know.
At 10 a.m. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com by phone or at thechicagotheater.com.
It would be such a thrill to see Carol Burnett, wouldn't it? All right. So who wants tickets? Here's how you do it. First, you dial us up at 312-981-7200. Once we have the phone lines all jammed up with people who want to see Carol Burnett, I will explain the rules. It's the Christmas Carol game. Couldn't be more easy, or could it? We'll find out very, very soon. People are calling me on my private phone.
They can't get the tickets.
They cannot.
That's just me.
Oh, did you call me?
Yeah,
no,
sorry.
No, Wendy, I cannot give you the tickets.
I wanted the tickets.
There'd be a government investigation.
All right. Sorry about that.
So let's take the callers one at a time, and as we have our first contestant, I will explain the rules. The rules are simple. The answers are not, but the rules are.
All right, so we don't need Jasmine to screen anybody.
Nope.
We're just going to randomly take some calls.
Yeah.
All right, let's begin with this call. Hi, listener. What's your name?
Dave.
Dave, you will be the first person to get a shot at these Carol Burnett tickets. Here's how the Christmas Carol game works. I will ask you four questions. You must correctly answer all four questions. If you get one wrong, you do not get to see Carol Burnett in June or ever.
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 All right.
Dave, where are you calling from? I'm just curious.
I'm in Chicago. I live in Oak Forest, though.
Okay.
Bill's Haunt.
That's where I'm from. Are you and I related, Dave, in any way?
No way whatsoever.
All right. Good for both of us. Here goes.
Absolutely.
All right. All of these answers have somebody named Carol in them, Dave. Question number one. This actor played America's favorite bigot on both All in the Family and its spinoff, Archie Bunker's Place. Name that Carol.
Carol O'Connor.
Carol O'Connor is absolutely correct.
Jasmine.
Can I have some sound effect music, Jazz? Dave, stay tuned for sound effect music.
All right.
Jasmine.
We will send that to you, Dave. You are one for one. Question number two. This gravelly-voiced Broadway star is best known for her rendition of Hello, Dolly. Name that Carol.
Carol Channing.
Carol Channing. You, sir, are halfway there. You've gotten two out of the four. Question number three. You're on a roll, Dave. I'm very proud of
that
you.
That is the lamest sound effect I have ever heard.
In history. Question number three, Dave. You are halfway there. Question three. In 1992, she became the first African-American U.S. senator. Name that Carol.
Carol Moseley Braun.
Carol Moseley Braun.
Woo!
Dave, you are three quarters of the way there. If you get one more correct, you are going to see Carol Burnett. But if you're wrong, you don't get to see her ever. Question number four. She spent 14 seasons as the prize girl on Monty Hall's Let's Make a Deal. Name that Carol.
I believe that was Carol Merrill.
Dave?
Yes.
Four for four. You are going to see the great Carol Burnett at the Chicago Theater in June. Boy, are you good.
Why, thank you, Bill.
I am quite impressed.
That was great.
Good job.
I'm older, so a lot of those were right up my alley.
Well, it played in your favor.
Dave, who are you going to bring?
Sure,
Bill?
Yeah, you should bring me. We could have a good time.
Well, we're not related, so.
Yeah, maybe.
No, absolutely. It'll be my wife.
Oh, man.
What a great night. All right. I know it's all the way in June, on June 12th to be exact.
Leave now.
At the Chicago Theater. Put it on your phone.
You never know what traffic is like, Wendy. Always leave 6 months early.
All right. Well, hang
on,
Dave from Chicago, originally from Oak Forest. great job.
Thanks, Wendy. Appreciate it. You guys have a nice holiday season.
Thank you, Dave. You too.
Thank you.
Aren't the people from Oak Forest both knowledgeable and polite, Wendy?
Some. Some are.
Some are.
Yes, that was our boy. That went very quickly.
I can't believe I didn't think anyone would get all four that quickly. That was fast. I should have asked harder questions.
A pair of tickets to see Carol Burnett for an evening of fun, nostalgia, and reflections at the Chicago Theater, June 12th. Tickets, as I mentioned, go on sale tomorrow, Friday, December 1st at 10 a.m. You can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com, by phone, or at thechicagotheater.com. We may have another pair to give away.
Oh, really?
But I don't know. I may save them for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're not here tomorrow.
No. No. All right. That's fine.
Hmm.
Yeah, do tomorrow. That's fine. Do it tomorrow.
Harry Tynowitz will be filling in for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he can come up with a game.
Yeah,
chocolate game.
Put the pressure on Harry. That's a good idea.
I'm Harry Tynowitz.
All right, let's take a quick break.
I can't wait to work with Harry,
It's going to be fun. All right, a quick break and then more show. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Markkanen?
Markkanen.
Is that like Cher, just one name?
Yeah, just Markkanen. That's all you need. You're like Stacey King. John Williams has a big show coming up. Am I hearing this right?
Oh, yeah, Bill. Mark your calendars for Saturday, December 2nd. You can see our own John Williams live in action on stage. It's at the Elgin Community College in two shows with two of America's most fascinating and influential characters.
At 10 a.m., it's a conversation with the author of the Declaration of Independence and our third president. That would be Thomas Jefferson. You can hear what a founding father would say about America today.
Then, at 1 p.m., John converses with Markkanen.
No, he doesn't.
No.
Does he? That'd be
with
great.
With explorer Meriwether Lewis. Capture the pioneering spirit of what it was like to venture into the uncharted territory of the American West in the 1800s.
Wouldn't it be cool if Richard Lewis played Meriwether Lewis? That'd be a fun show. I wonder if John looked at that. If this is your first time at one of these shows, you're in for an engaging experience. The program begins with a conversation between John Williams and Thomas Jefferson, or John Williams and Meriwether Lewis. It's up to you, the audience. You vote.
Page two. Then the audience is... Oh, this was still you.
That's still me? Then the audience is invited to ask questions, like, do Bill and Wendy ever rehearse their reads? Tickets are $31. They're on sale right now. Buy them online at WGNRadio.com/events or call the Blizzard Theater box office at 847-622-0300. That's Mondays through Thursdays, noon to 6, and Saturdays, noon to 5.
Again, Thomas Jefferson, TJ, as we affectionately call him, at 10 a.m. and Meriwether Lewis at 1 p.m. It's all sponsored by American Sale. Visit one of their 9 Chicagoland locations or AmericanSale.com.
All right, so there is a family out in Connecticut that has decorated their house. And when I say decorated, you almost have to see this. I could start describing it now. I wouldn't be done by Christmas.
Really?
They have thousands, hundreds of thousands of lights everywhere. They have animated characters moving around. They've got trains. They've got an inside. They've got an outside. The problem is that the neighbors of this well-to-do community in Connecticut are not too pleased with this. The people of Fairfield are very upset because they maintain that it's too gaudy, it's too loud, there's too much light, there's too much traffic. So what do you do in a situation like this? If one family has decided that they're going to own Christmas, they're going to decorate like crazy, and everybody else in the block goes, we can't deal with this, what do you possibly do in a situation like this?
I think it's awesome.
Are you looking at the same footage I saw?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely 100% over the top.
Way over the top.
But
if there's no, not that this is the difference in decorating and over-decorating, but there's no real theme to it. There's
my God.
Is there?
No, but you don't, it could be willy-nilly on Christmas.
This is a little much.
It is.
I love decorating, but even by my own overblown standards.
Even the Griswolds would say this is too much.
Imagine living next door to this house.
Yeah, I guess.
It would be impossible.
But you shouldn't take away somebody's
right
and desire to decorate.
I agree with that to some extent.
Wow, this is really, really over the top.
See what I mean? One family's bright display of Christmas cheer at their Connecticut home has courted controversy this holiday season after dozens of neighbors. So you could say to yourself, like, if one or two neighbors go, oh, that's too much. But when dozens of neighbors say something, you go, there's got to be something to this. Everybody in the neighborhood wouldn't turn on you unless you've really done something big. Dozens of neighbors complained in a petition that the traffic of the twinkling exhibition creates public safety and nuisance concerns.
Yeah, because what, 30,000 people came by last holiday season to look at it.
30,000.
Not counting those who drove by without stopping. Right. They've been putting this display up for 18 years. You can't all of a sudden say no. There's this place, I think it's in Westchester, which growing up we used to call it Candy Cane Lane because every house did some amazing decor. And there would be lines, and you'd look at the house that didn't decorate and wonder how pissed they were.
Wow, horribly.
Yeah, but it, you know what? This hurts no one.
Now, let me complicate it even more. Not only does it possibly hurt no one except these dozens of neighbors that have petitioned for this thing to be closed down, but they also raise money for local children's charities. Like, as you're driving by, you can put money in a jar, and then they give it to hospitals nearby. So that complicates things even more, because then you say, well, they're doing good here. They're helping kids in the neighborhood who are sick. But again, if you're the neighbors, you go, I can't get any rest. I can't get any sleep. There's always cars out in front of the house. Do they show the traffic in the video you see? Do they show the traffic pattern?
No, that's the house. But now do they turn it off at night?
I don't even know if that's the house, Wendy, because the one that I saw in video is like three times more than this one that you're looking at.
I saw a different house too, but
that might
be
last year's house, because this year they said
this is the 2011 photo.
Oh yeah, wait till you see it today.
Oh, it's way cooler.
Is it cooler? Yeah.
Listen, I know if it was next door to me, but don't they turn it off at a specified time?
They've been forced to turn it off at 10 o'clock.
But they...
Now they've been forced. Like, before they were forced...
It should be midnight.
They would keep it on till midnight. Really?
It's Christmas, you guys.
I know.
And it's helping charities. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, that makes it more complicated. It says funds are raised for the Shriners Hospital for Children in Connecticut. Oh. So that makes it a little more delicate if you're one of the neighbors, because then you go, I don't want to take money out of kids who need this money. You know, I can't take their money away from them.
It's not... It's a little gaudy. I might say it's not done very tastefully.
It looks like Christmas is throwing a tantrum, doesn't it?
Yeah.
There's all this electrified lights that just keep, they're like nonstop strobing.
They could use help with a designer, perhaps.
But the truest part of this is if somebody came in and said, let's make this slightly more tasteful, tone it down just a little bit. Like, they're going more for volume than they are for class, right?
Yeah, but again, it's helping charities. I'm looking at it, and it's wow.
See,
I give them so much credit for it. Look at all the effort they put into that.
Without a doubt, I'll tell you the number of lights. They say the Hallowells. That's the family that puts this up. Mary Hallowell and her family from Fairfield, Connecticut. This year have employed more than 350,000 Christmas lights. I'll tell you, when you see this, when you see the video of it, it looks like double or triple that.
It really does. It's crazy town.
I know.
So 100% crazy town.
I think it's a Grinch town, though. Come on, people.
Because of the neighbors, you mean, Kim?
Yeah.
But imagine if this was right next door to you and, like, you have people over or you're trying to have a nice quiet night and watch a movie. You can't.
You can't.
What if you have to run out to get beer?
Right.
And you can't pull out of your driveway because there's 30,000 people coming down the street.
They're all lined
not
up.
Not all at once.
Well, people have done this for years, so they know. I mean,
so
prepare.
Stock up on beer.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, there was a house in Payless. It was owned by the people. There used to be a restaurant called the Homestead Restaurant. So it was the owners of the Homestead Restaurant. Remember that?
Yeah.
So their house, it was amazing. And to see the house, it was a half an hour, 40 minutes. You'd wait in line because cars would just crawl around this house. And it was 360 degrees all around the house. There wasn't a single angle that they didn't decorate for Christmas. It was stunning, but you knew their neighbors just hated them. You just knew it.
But it's one time a year.
I know. It's a long 4 or 5 weeks.
They should get rid of the. They do have a few inflatables, and I was talking to you off the air, and I feel bad because Patty Vasquez filled in for you, and I was kind of slamming inflatables, and they do inflatables.
Oops.
I know.
How'd you handle that?
I just said...
Some inflatables are nice. I'm sure the ones you put up are nice.
I will be honest with you. I have seen like a little snow globe inflatable that's kind of nice. But the problem with people who do inflatables, they don't just do one.
Yeah, they do a lot.
It's like 50.
And they let it go. Like once they inflate them, they don't keep on it because they lose their air pretty quickly. So it looks like Bullwinkle's drunk or something. You want the inflatables at full inflatable capacity at all times. And it's hard to do that, I guess.
And I don't know if it's expensive because I would say, you know, keep it inflated even during the day.
Yes.
Because it just looks bad, like you have bodies strewn all over your front lawn.
Yeah, that's not Christmas.
And I noticed a few inflatables, like...
At this house?
Yeah.
At the Halliwell house, they've got everything.
They do have everything.
Yeah. They have trains going around their yard.
That's not cool.
That's very cool. But if they live next door to me, I would say, let's find a theme and maybe stick with the theme. You know,
it's a little bit Kim's of everything. Kim's right. All a bunch of Grinches.
A lot of Grinches. All right. A quick break. Kim's got the news. And then Dean Richards joins us. The holiday movies have started. He'll tell you what's good and what isn't. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys, Dean.
He's Dean, Bill.
He is Dean. He's Dean Richards. That's who he is. Hi, Dean. 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 Oh, Dean.
Are you still poisoned from your Thanksgiving dinner?
I am. My digestive system is back to normal. Well, mine was already.
You were the only one okay. Isn't this a sad tale of woe?
Yeah. I poisoned my whole family on Thanksgiving. Everyone got sick except me.
Interesting.
Circumstantial evidence.
And I'm sure the detectives are working on the case. What do they think will happen next, Dean?
A refund?
Yeah.
There's definitely a refund in order. And I have bought stock in Imodium this week.
Oh, you have?
After the record volumes that my family has been purchasing.
That's awful news.
Yeah, everybody's okay.
Horrible news.
You know, it's a good story to tell for generations to come.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Speaking of Thanksgiving, Wendy and I were discussing this yesterday. On Thanksgiving, I once again watched Bozo, Gar, and Ray. I watch it every time it's on.
So did we.
WGN TV classics.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so would you describe the atmosphere? Because I was trying to find the right word because, you know, when we watched Bozo Circus, originally we were all of grade school age. And now, as adults, I watch it, and I think the word
Some of us were a little older.
Some of us were older, right?
Some of us never stopped watching it from grade school age.
But is this word fair to describe the atmosphere of Bozo Circus? Boozy? Would you call it boozy?
No, I wouldn't call it boozy.
No? What would you say?
I would call it Marlboro-filled.
Right. Smoky.
Really?
Yeah. I would call it Marlboro-filled, because that was back in the day when you could smoke at your workplace.
Yeah.
And I didn't think clowns smoked.
Well,
Wendy.
Didn't I ever tell you the first time that I met Bob Bell?
No.
Bob Bell, who was the original Bozo.
Yep.
Did I ever tell you this story, Bill?
No.
Oh, you're going to love this story. I was, I might have been 21, 22 years old, something like that. And it was one of my very first telethons that I ever was part of.
Yeah.
I was going to be on the, quote, celebrity phones, you know, answering the phones when people were coming in. So I put on my, ill-fitting suit, and got an ill-fitting haircut, and, you know, I looked like a complete dork, dressing up to be on TV. I think it was one of my first times being on TV. But I was so excited because Bozo and Cookie were sort of like the main hosts of that segment. I was just on the phones. But during one of the breaks, we had a break. And I very sheepishly went up to this kind of like in the backstage area where the hosts and the producers and everything were standing. I went back there because I wanted to meet Bob Bell and Roy Brown. So I was so nervous. I'm sure I was flop sweating like Albert Brooks in Broadcast News sweating. And I go up to Bob Bell. His back is toward me. He's in full costume, full Bozo costume.
Mm-hmm.
I walk up and, you know, it's like, hello, Mr. Bell. I just wanted to meet you. And, you know, he turns around and he's got a cigarette in his mouth.
Oh, no.
In full Bozo costume. He's got his foot up on a chair, you know, kind of resting his elbow on his knee.
Yeah.
Having a smoke, having a quick smoke.
Good for him.
He and Roy Brown, Cookie, enjoying a nice smoke in between in the break.
Did they have a dice game going too at the time?
Did they have the squirting flower to put it out when they were finished smoking?
They did not. No, they did not. And they said something to me that I can't repeat,
on
the air. Because it might have been slightly naughty language for a clown.
Yeah.
But he couldn't have been nicer. That was the first time I met him. I became friends with all of them through the years, through putting together the special and the many things that we've done here at WGN through the years. But I'll never forget that. A smoking Bob Bell.
Wasn't it weird, Dean, whenever you would talk to him and he was not in Bozo regalia, and he would talk because your brain couldn't process that Bozo's voice was coming out of somebody that wasn't Bozo.
No, and he was, you know, he's a very handsome man.
Yeah.
He used to do print ads for Bigsby and Crothers Clothiers.
Did he?
The Silverbergs.
Because he was so dapper.
Yeah, he was.
He was just, he was a just like model, you know, looking kind of man. You know, had this beautiful announcer's voice. He started as an announcer at WGN.
Sure.
And did the news and station.
And wasn't he also in a comedy team with Wally Phillips?
Wally Phillips and Don Sandberg.
Right.
Honestly?
Right. Yeah.
The three of them came from Cincinnati together.
Yeah.
On WGN. Wally to host the show. Don Sandberg and Bob Bell to be sort of the side people on the show, supporting people on the show. But Bob also became an announcer, and then the Bozo thing started, and he would, there are famous stories of Bob getting ready to do the Bozo show in full Bozo costume, reading the news on the radio. This is Bob Bell with the news, and in full costume. I wish I could have seen something like that. It would have been fantastic.
But whenever he would talk and not be dressed as Bozo, I always liken it to the actor Alan Reed, who most people know as Fred Flintstone. When you see him in a movie and he would talk, you'd go, that's Fred Flintstone's voice, but it's coming out of a human guy.
A human guy, yeah.
What's with
that? His voice was slightly different. He didn't put on a crazy clown voice. It was slightly different, but it was basically Bob Bell's voice that you would hear. But to answer your original question, I saw these guys smoking like chimneys all the time. I got to say, I've never saw any alcohol involved. I've never smelled any alcohol involved. I'm told by some of the old school restaurateurs in the area of Addison and Western, where the TV station is located, that it would not be uncommon for some of the cast members to go for, after the show, when the show was over, they would go for lunch and,
a liquid lunch. Maybe.
Like a lot of people did back in those days. You'd have a cocktail or two after work. But I never personally witnessed it myself. And honestly, I would be really shocked if any of them actually did it while they were working. But they were all pretty professional.
But, Dean, when you see a scene and
I'm drunk right now.
Well, you are now.
I am drunk right now.
Everybody knows
that. They never did.
But when you see a scene, and they show this in Bozo, Gar, and Ray, they show their rendition of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, you say to yourself, this was either inspired by or enhanced by or somehow Jack Daniels was involved in this scene.
I don't think so.
No?
I think that these guys just wanted to amuse themselves. I think they just
They were clowns, for God's sakes.
Right.
They just wanted to have fun.
Yeah, clowns just want to have fun.
Bob Bell said, I think this is also part of the show where we interviewed him as Bob. And he said, we're not trying to educate anybody. We're not trying to teach anybody their ABCs.
Yeah.
We're just come out here and we're just trying to have fun every day.
Yep.
And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, we'll try again tomorrow.
And I said this to Wendy because Wendy was never fortunate enough to come in during a taping of Bozo Circus. I was fortunate enough to see two of them. When you're a kid and you walk into that studio at WGN on Bradley Place, and you in your head you go, this is going to be a gigantic palace.
Right.
And it's not. It's really small.
Yeah, it's pretty crappy looking when you.
It's disappointing.
It's like any TV show, really.
Yeah.
When you go to the set of any TV show, it's enormously disappointing when you see it in person because it's always much smaller. It's always much cheesier looking than it appears to be on TV because, like you, I thought, wow, cast of thousands. Mr. Ned said it every day. It must be true.
Right.
There were about 100, 150 people in those grandstands. But I thought it was a cast of thousands and that there really were magic arrows someplace. And they always talked about the big top and it must be in a giant circus tent. And, you know, it's you know, at the end, it was in the same room that they did the lottery broadcast.
I know.
The lottery drawings were on one end and the Bozo stuff was on the other.
Yeah, yeah. But that, again, that would fall into the guise of the magic of television,
magic
wouldn't
of
it?
Magic of television.
Yeah, so true. When can people, if people didn't get to see it on Thanksgiving Day, they're going to show Bozo Gara Ray again. When will it be?
On Christmas Eve.
Perfect.
It will be on from 1 to 3 p.m. And then well, immediately following that will be our special holiday presentation of Family Classics. But the first run of Family Classics, where we're going to show Alistair Sims' version of Scrooge, a Christmas Carol, basically, the 1951 version, is going to be a week from tomorrow. It'll be from 7 to 9 p.m. on December the 8th. But then on Christmas Eve, we're going to rerun Bozo, Gar, and Ray. We're going to rerun Family Classics.
There's this scene, Dean, in that version of Christmas Carol or Scrooge that I could never figure out what was being said. Bob Cratchit is teaching these kids how to throw a snowball, and he says a word, and the word ends up being half a mo. Right, right before they throw the snowball, he goes, half a mo, like that. And forever I would watch that, and I go, what is he talking about? What does that mean? And then somebody explained to me, that was British slang for half a moment. Wait a couple seconds before you throw the snowball.
Really?
I didn't know that.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Bill Leff taught us something today. Yeah. Put that down on your calendars, people.
I only know that reference from Will and Grace, and it's completely different.
Oh, boy.
All right. We'll take a court-ordered break, and then we'll come back, and Dean will explain which movies to see. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're chatting with Dean Richards, and I don't know. A lot of people said they'd run into, like, Ringmaster Ned, and they walked past him, and there was a lot of smoke, and it was kind of confusing for a child to
see
that.
That's right.
Yeah. Can imagine.
You get used to it. Toughen up, you little snot-nosed kids.
See your Uncle Ned with a pack of Marlboros in his shirt sleeve.
But didn't they, for a while, Dean, on the grand prize game, if you got bucket number three or bucket number four, they'd give you some Kents? They'd give you a box of Kents.
Carton of cigarettes.
Yeah. Yay.
What I always thought was, and this is true, one of the prizes on the grand prize game was a new mode hose with the no-bind top.
Sure. I know.
They would give away pantyhose.
Yeah.
But think about it. The moms were the ones that usually took the kids there, so it's
true.
A little bonus.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. You got your Dressel's cake. You got your bun bars.
Yep.
Giant Tootsie Roll.
You got a giant
puffer kite.
Giant Tootsie
Schwinn
Roll.
Schwinn bike, if you were lucky.
And if you got to bucket number six, you got the Schwinn bike and however many silver dollars were in bucket number six.
And we'll add a silver dollar every day till someone
wins
them all.
I never got to go.
Da, da.
Yep.
I did get a postcard from Garfield Goose.
When he went to Miami or something? What happened?
I wrote in for it or something.
With Romberg Rabbit and sent him.
Romberg and Schomburg. Remember that special?
I do.
Nobody watched that.
I think we should start a campaign to rename Schomburg Romberg.
I love that.
That should be good. Dean, for some reason, I don't understand why, because it's the holiday season. Not that many movies have been released or will be released this weekend. What's up with
that?
Not
this weekend. There's a lot of independent films that are opening in New York and L.A. this weekend because the movie studios need to get their releases out, you know, for deadline.
Yeah.
That they have to be released in New York or L.A. by a certain date in order to qualify for Academy Award consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of them are opening not here, Shape of Water, lots of the independents that I'm going to tell you about next week. They'll open in Chicago next week that are really great and only in a few theaters. But just, you know, to not muddy the waters right now, I'm only going to the one big release that's opening here this week. And then we've got a ton of amazing movies that are coming between now and the end of the year is a movie I did not expect to be so completely bowled over by. And that's James Franco's The Disaster Artist. This is a true story about a movie which is considered to be one of the greatest bad films of all time.
Mm.
This film is called The Room. It was made by this very mysterious character named Tommy Wiseau, Not Wizzo.
Different Wizzo.
Not that Wizzo. I think it may actually be pronounced Wizzo.
Wait, look at how that all tied in, though. That was beautiful.
But the reviews of the film said duty, 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 duty. Remember?
Well, the original movie, The Room, it truly was duty, duty, duty. Yeah. It was one of these films that's so awful that it's fantastic. This movie, The Disaster Artist, reminded me of the Tim Burton movie Ed Wood.
With Plan 9 from Outer Space.
Johnny Depp was in, and Martin Landau won an Academy Award for playing Bela Lugosi in that movie. This movie is like that. It centers around this character, Tommy Wiseau, or if you want Wizzo.
Wizzo.
This bizarre character with a bizarre accent, mysterious. Nobody really knows where he's from or where he is getting millions of dollars to make his own movie, because he tries to get a job as an actor. Nobody will hire him because he's awful. He's terrible. Nobody will hire him. So he and another acting student that he's in class with, who is played by his brother Dave Franco in the movie, set out to make their own film. But he is so weird and so completely bizarre, and the decisions that he makes are also completely out of left field. The result is what is quintessentially one of the worst films that have ever been made, that unintentionally becomes a huge hit as a midnight screening.
A cult classic.
One that they show at midnight for film fans and people who want to go see it because it's so bad that it winds up being enjoyable. James Franco directs this movie, and I think that it's got to be more difficult to direct a movie which is supposed to be intention. You know, it's a movie about a movie within a movie, to tell the narrative of the story, and at the same time be making the worst film in the world at the same time. I think has to be especially complex. Franco does such an amazing job, not only in directing it, but this is one of the most complex, layered, weird, and wonderful performances that you are going to see this year. I promise you he's going to be nominated for an Academy Award, definitely for acting.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much for directing, although I liked it. I just think there are going to be so many other choices for direction that there might not be room for him.
I love him.
But this is so weird, so bizarre, so wonderful, so it winds up being about friendship and persevering. And there is this remarkable story about this mysterious man. To this day, people don't know a lot of the details about this guy, Tommy Wiseau, as we like to call him.
And he's got a cameo in the movie, doesn't he?
He does. And please, when the movie's over, stay for the credits, because afterwards they show side-by-side comparisons of scenes from the movie The Disaster Artist, the new movie, with the original film, The Room, side-by-side.
Oh, nice.
And you can see how precisely James Franco worked to replicate scenes from the original movie.
The Disaster Artist. And what is Dean's List on
this? A Dean's List A.
Oh, I love it. Good.
I really loved it. Next week, we've got about a half a dozen fantastic movies that are going to be opening. I'll tell you about those. By next week at this time, I will be back from Los Angeles, where I'm going this weekend, to see a little film called Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
I have not heard of this.
And
I don't know what you're talking about.
Talk to some of the performers in this movie, some of the actors in this movie, including a fellow named Mark Hamill.
No.
Plays a character you probably haven't heard of, Luke Skywalker.
Mm-mm.
Some of the other characters as well.
And this is in color, you're saying?
This is, I haven't seen it yet.
Could be.
So right. I don't know.
Right.
I love that we can do like a half an hour on Bozo smoking, but we don't know anything
about Star Wars. Isn't that crazy?
May the force be with
Dean,
you, Dean.
Thank you so much. All have right. a good trip to Los Angeles. We'll talk to you in a week.
Thanks, guys.
That's Dean Richards. Stick around. We'll tell you what Steve has coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I can't. I'm too sad.
I can't.
I'm too sad.
Golly.
I am.
We just received word that...
Kim Gordon, go ahead.
Yeah, go on, Kim.
You want me to break it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad. Jim Nabors has died at the age of 87.
Wendy and I will take
a look.
I thought
he was 83. No?
Oh, my God. Will you just let this moment sit for a moment?
We just lost Jim Nabors.
I'm sorry.
Wendy and I will discuss this at great lengths on the bonus hour on the stream. Find us at WGNRadio.com where we will talk about the career and the life of Jim Nabors.
And then Wendy saying he was gay?
Wendy was not aware of this.
I kept reading the thing saying his husband reports that I'm like, his husband?